Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 4. In verse 1, let a man so consider. In other words, let a man realize this and think about this. As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, moreover, it is required that stewards be found faithful. Every believer is two things, at least. They are servants and they are stewards. Now, we all understand what a servant is. It's somebody who simply serves. You wait for the person that you're serving and then you follow their instructions and you serve. Almost like a waiter in a restaurant. A waiter will watch to see what you need and then come over and ask you if you would maybe like more or what have you. But a steward is a little bit different. You are stewards. And a steward has to be faithful in order to be a steward. A steward in the original language, that's to say in the original Greek language, the word steward is oikonomos. And it's a person who has responsibility for another person's affairs or business or property or what have you. So something belongs to another person. And it's somebody usually who has some kind of authority or ownership or something like that. And they give somebody else charge over this. For example, a store manager. A store manager doesn't necessarily own the store. But the owner of the store asks the store manager to run the store for him. He's a type of a steward. Now, there's stewardship over a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be just business. We are stewards of the things of God. We're stewards of grace. God gives us grace. And so we become people who manage grace. What does that mean? It means that God gives me grace, and then I use the grace correctly. Now, in Matthew 25, there were some people who were stewards, who were servants. And they had a boss. And the boss gave them all a certain amount of money. It was a business. And there were only three people there. Two of them used the money and made 100% more. They doubled what the boss gave them. But the third one didn't know the character of the boss. And therefore, he was afraid to use what he was given. And he simply put it in the ground until the boss came back. And then he gave him what was the boss's. The boss was not happy with that guy. He was not a good steward. He received something, but he didn't use it. What we receive, God wants us to use it. When we receive grace, God wants us to use grace. Now remember, grace is three things. Grace is a gift that you don't earn, therefore you don't have to worry about deserving it. It's just a gift. It's Ephesians 2:8. It's also God's kindness toward you. It's Ephesians 2:7. And then it's also the government of God, and that's Hebrews 4:16. So I receive kindness from God. God wants me to use kindness. In other words, something happens, but I turn to God because I know He's going to be kind to me, and I find my comfort there, and I find my hope there, and I find an expectation that He'll help me with my circumstances because He is kind. He gives a gift that I don't deserve. That means that even if I fail, even if I mess up, I can run to Him and He'll accept me and He'll help me and He'll fix my problem even though I don't deserve it, because that's a part of grace. It also means that whatever situation I'm in, He's always going to help me, to guide me, to give me wisdom, to order my path, because it's also a government. I use these things. If I don't know what to do, I ask God, and sometimes I get a clear answer, and sometimes I don't. That's not a problem if I don't get a clear answer. It doesn't mean that God's not going to answer. It means that He's going to answer in another way. God is not locked into one form of answer. God answers according to what's most effective. And so I know that if I don't get a clear answer, and I need to make, let's say, a decision, then it's not that God's going to speak to me with the answer, it's that He's going to make sure that I end up where I'm supposed to be, where He wants me. It's called ordering your steps. He'll cause me to make the right choices. If you're ever in a situation and you don't know what to do, ask Him. And if He doesn't give you a clear answer whereby you know for sure this is what God said, don't worry. It's not that He's not answering. He's chosen another style of answer. In that case, ask Him, cause me to make the right choice. The reason why that works is because He gives promises that if you ask Him that, He will do it for you. And He always does that. He can't lie. And so if you ask Him, you'll make the right choices. If you ask Him, you'll do the right things. You'll do what you need to do. You never have to be afraid. But that's a part of God's government. So use God's government. Use God's kindness. Use the fact that He gave you a gift and He will never take that gift away from you. Use that. Mercy is another one. God gave you mercy. He wants you to be a steward of mercy. Mercy is kind of funny. It's when God does not give us what we deserve. And sometimes people think, well, if I deserve it, I want it, don't I? Well, sometimes we deserve things that we'd rather not have. Sometimes we deserve perhaps punishment. Sometimes we deserve God to be a little bit tougher with us than He will sometimes be. And so we might make a mistake, and what we really deserve would not be something we really would look forward to getting, but God will be merciful. And He's merciful because He loves and because you are a believer, because you come to Him, and you'll find that He'll be very merciful to you. Patience is a part of mercy. Have you ever met somebody who's impatient? They're difficult to be around because you never know what's going to happen with them. They're unpredictable. You never know if they're going to be hurtful toward you or if they're going to be okay toward you. Never quite sure. It's difficult to be around impatience. God is never impatient. God is always going to be patient with you, even if you don't get it on the first try, the second try, the 10th try, the 100th try, the 1,000th try. God will always be very patient with you. Because that's a part of mercy. God is very merciful. If a person sins, God will be merciful to them. Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. And so God doesn't have to do anything except to be merciful toward us. When a person fails, God will tell them about their failure. They'll get convicted by the Holy Spirit. In other words, they know in their heart, because the Holy Spirit is living inside of them and He works with their conscience, that that was not right. That was not good. But what He'll do in order to get us to come back to Him, instead of punishing us, He'll be really kind to us. Nobody wants to come to someone who's unkind. But to come to somebody who's kind, well, that actually is just wonderful. And so He's always kind to us, even in our failures. So we use that. You make a mistake, run to Him. Don't be afraid, run to Him. Don't be condemned, run to Him. Don't feel guilty, run to Him. He can fix your mistakes. That's a part of the stewardship of mercy. Prayer is another one. God gives us prayer. Are we stewards of prayer? Do you pray for your needs? Do you pray for people in your life, people you care about, people who need to get saved? Do you pray for your circumstances? Do you pray for your decisions? That's stewardship in prayer. All the things that God gives you, and there's a whole lot of them, God wants us to be stewards of those things. In other words, He wants us to receive them and use them. Use them. When a person uses what God gives them, when they're a good steward, everyone who is a good steward is going to hear these words when they get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, the things God gave you. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If you're a good steward, you use the things that God gives you, which is exactly what He wants you to do, you're going to get very well rewarded for that in heaven. If you use grace, if you're a steward of grace, you receive grace and you use it, you apply it in your life, you apply it to other people, God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you use mercy, you receive mercy when you make a mistake, you give mercy when somebody else makes a mistake, God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Forgiveness, you receive forgiveness if you do something you shouldn't have done, you give forgiveness if somebody else does something you shouldn't have done, and what does God say? Good and faithful servant, well done, and He calls you a good and faithful servant. It's not that you're perfect, it's not that you don't make mistakes, it's that you use the things that God gave you. That's what makes you a good steward. God doesn't look for perfection. God looks for faithfulness. So you're faithful in what God gave you. And God says, well done, good and faithful servant. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things of the Lord, that's one of the things that we are stewards of. They belong to God. But those things which are revealed, they belong to us. Now, in the Old Testament times, people did not understand the things that we understand in the New Testament times. Grace, for example, was a little bit of a mystery. Mercy was a mystery. God tried to teach them about it, but until you have the practicality of it, until you actually need it and use it, it's hard to understand it. Angels can't understand it at all. They can't receive grace because they're angels. They're on a totally different system than we are. Angels watch our lives to learn about grace. We're the teachers of angels. In many respects, there are helpers, there are guardians, because we're assigned an angel to help us, to protect us. But on the other side of it, we teach them. It's like teaching your own bodyguard. We're given certain mysteries, things that people don't understand. Things like the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. Things like the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be a steward of those things. How am I a steward of the mysteries of God? I share them with people. If I share the mysteries of God with people, if I let people see Christ in me, I'm a good steward of Christ living in me. Remember, the Holy Spirit living in me, since He is Christ's Spirit, is the same as saying Christ living in me. If I share that with people, I'm a good steward of it. And then they become possessors of the mysteries of God. When those servants doubled what they had, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. When I got saved, and because I got saved, somebody else got saved, I just doubled. Now there's two people who are saved. If 10 people get saved because I got saved, then I've multiplied it 10 times. That can go on forever. My pastor, Pastor Stevens, before he died, A few million people got saved because of it. He multiplied it millions of times. And for every single one of them, God says, well done, good and faithful steward, because he was a steward of the mysteries of God. You're stewards of the mysteries of God. People see Christ in you and you become stewards of the mysteries of God. It doesn't take anything you have to do. It just takes faithfulness to the things of God. You're going to find it's not going to happen a lot. It never does. But it's going to happen to you eventually that somebody says to you, I see Christ in you. You're going to have no idea why. But the reason why is because you're faithful to the mysteries of God, the mystery of grace. Things like that are mysteries to people. Like that prisoner that pastor won to Christ, grace was a mystery to him. Grace was a mystery to him. He asked that pastor, would God forgive a murderer? And the pastor said, yes, God will forgive a murderer. That was a mystery to that man. But that pastor was a good steward of that mystery and the man got saved. And then it belonged to that man also. We're the new creature. We're one person with Christ. It's not just me being a steward of something. Remember, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and the things that you do, He gives you the ability to do them. He gives you the know-how, the wisdom. He gives you guidance in the detail. He gives you things to say when you need to say something. He'll give you everything that you need to do them because you are one creature with Him in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are the new creation. You are the one new man, him and you, Christ and you, one person. You're the body of Christ. That means that your stewardship is not strictly your own doing. If I had to be a steward in just my ability and nothing more, that would be tough. But God gives you ability because He lives inside of you. God gives you wisdom because He lives inside of you. God gives you things to speak when you need to speak because He lives inside of you. He doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. He expects you to do it with Him. It's much easier when you're not doing it alone. And you're not. God doesn't want you to do it alone. He just wants you to do it with Him. We're stewards of the things of God. And if I'm a good steward of the things of God, then God's going to say to me one day, and God's going to say to you one day, as good stewards of the things of God, any good steward of the things of God, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Those are the most amazing words that a person can hear when they enter into heaven. Well done. Can you imagine perhaps a soldier comes home from a battle and he meets the president and the president says, well done. That's actually the highest honor in the country. It's called the Medal of Honor. Very few people get that. Only the best get that. But what an honor it is. Those people are recorded in history. It's always carried on the national news. Everybody's talking about this person got the Medal of Honor. Well, it's even bigger when we come home to be with God and He says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little, you'll be a ruler over much. That's what we want to hear. And we hear it when we're good stewards. We're good stewards if we're faithful to use the things that God gives us. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.